The following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the views of WSIC.
All systems are a go.
Ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your seats. Taking Care of Iredell with North Carolina State Representative Jeff McNeely is about to begin. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning, Iredell County. Good to be here this morning. Looks like I thought it was supposed to be a better day than today, but it's turned out kind of misty and this and that and the other, but that's all right. Lots of work to do. Got to get everything set up for the different polling places that we're allowed to actually electioneer at, which means be able to actually talk to the voters that come by and maybe hopefully answer any questions. Going to be all kind of different places tomorrow. I think there's 13 of them that I can actually be at or have people at. So it's going to be a busy day. Starts at 6:30 and ends at 7:30. So you've got time. You've still got time. Those who haven't voted, figure out where your voting place is. You can go on your Iredell County website and go to elections and find it. You can actually do your North Carolina State Board of Elections, NCSBOE. And put your name in their voter search, and it will tell you where you vote at. So a lot of different ways to find out where to vote. Some of the places have changed. I do know we're using the Ag Center on Bristol Drive, and I don't think we've used that before. So that's a new one, and I'm trying to think if there's any other out there, but that's probably about it. But anyway, got a good show today. Going to take calls first part, and then I've got the seer of all seers, the prognosticator of all prognosticators, the man from the West with the vision, the dude with the attitude, Representative Jason Sain is going to call in. And we're going to talk more mostly just the statewide, federal and statewide ballots, because it's hard to know some of these people if you don't interact with them. And fortunately, me and Jason have interacted with a lot of them, so we know them well, and maybe can give you a little insight, and that might help you decide your vote, how you want to go. Hopefully, we'll give you wise counsel. So just hang tight, and we'll have him on the second part of the show, talk about the different races there, state and federal, that's going to be on the ballot for you to vote. Hey, if you'd like to call in, you can still use the old number, 704-873-1400, but the new number, and you may want to write this down, stick it in your phone, because it's probably going to be the main one, and that one will go away eventually, 844-788-3464. And I know that sounds a little different with that area code, but this is kind of one of those things we call it computer generated. So 844-788-3464. All right, and that's the number to call. We'd love to hear from you. You can use the old number. I think it's still good for today and probably for a couple more shows, but eventually it's phasing out. The old number, 704-873-1400, if that makes you feel better. Let's just talk a little bit about what's going on in the national political front right now with Donald Trump, President Trump, former President Trump, and Nikki Haley. Actually, Nikki Haley won a primary over the weekend. Now, let's talk about that a little bit. She won the D.C., District of Columbia primary, and probably about 5% of the voters in the D.C. District of Columbia area are Republicans. Now, you know, a lot of us here that are conservative don't know if we really got any Republicans in D.C., whether they can vote there or not. But hopefully we're sending some here pretty shortly. But anyway, she won. Took 3 days. They did it at a hotel. You just came by and placed your vote. But got to understand, these are the moderate of the moderate of the moderate. So kind of weird. And then I hear them all the time talking right now, a lot of the people, especially on the other side of the aisle, say, well, she's getting 25% at least every time. And she got 40 in South Carolina. And you know, but she got handily beat this weekend in Michigan, Missouri, Idaho. So I'm not even going to say that D.C. was actually a true primary, but for whatever, she wants to hang her hat on that. So the president's winning usually, and she's averaging about 25%. The uptick I felt like in South Carolina was something that I'm seeing. She got 40. Now, it was her home state, and she was governor there for a while. So the old saying is the Al Gore effect. If you can't win your home state, you got issues. And Al Gore would have been president, but he couldn't win Tennessee from where he was from. So, you know, that tells you a lot right there. And Nikki Haley couldn't win South Carolina, but she did do a good show. But one of the things that I did see happening in South Carolina, and I think it's happening across the country, and it may be something we have to look at, and it's happening here in Iredell, in my opinion, in Iredell County. You've got a lot of things going on where people are moving from one party to either unaffiliated or the other party, especially at primary time. So, do we got a caller? We'll go ahead and take it. We got time, don't we, Joe? Let's go ahead. I'm going to put them on. Hey, this is Representative Jeff McNeely. Who we got?
Hey, Jeff. William here. Just wanted to wish you good luck tomorrow in the polls. Went by the one in Statesville Saturday, and there was a good crowd standing
out
there.
Busy.
And I don't know what the polls are now, but the ratings, it was like almost 500,000 that had voted so far in North Carolina. I'm sure it's probably exceeded that now. Hopefully in November it'll be a lot more. I think a lot of people are waiting until the day of.
Well, you know, and that's becomes kind of a strategy, I believe, of the conservatives is to do it on voter day. So it's hard to figure out who will not vote, so absentee ballots don't show up all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So it's a plan, and I get it, and I'm not saying it's a bad plan. So, you know, I feel like North Carolina, we're a little more safer than many, but that don't mean we're completely safe. So, you know, it's not a bad strategy. I look for a big turnout tomorrow. I think the weather's going to be decent, so that shouldn't be an excuse.
Yeah, early vote, and I didn't know this until I researched it and then talked to Vicki Sawyer a couple weeks ago, and we found out that early voting actually was established back in the 70s. I didn't realize it had been that long. And the reason, I guess, one of the reasons being is that a lot of people would be out of country, so to speak, and couldn't vote. So they just started the early voting thing to get that accomplished while those folks were out of country and couldn't vote the day of. I'm sure there was probably other reasons why they created it, but I didn't realize it had been around that long.
Yeah, you know, it actually, I think back then you had to go to Raleigh, though, and actually go to the actual State Board of Elections, pull your ballot there and do it, or get an absentee ballot and fill it out and,
yeah,
you know, get your thing, but you could vote. So it started like that, but then it morphed, and, you know, now it's in all 100 counties. So I think, in my personal opinion, it's too long. It's a very expensive process for the state. I mean, we went, I think it was 17 days, and 8 o'clock in the morning till 7:30 at night. And we kind of kept a running poll up at the Board of Elections. I told the ladies, I said, let me know how many comes in after 5. Let me know how many comes in after 6. And after 5, there was still a decent trickle in. But after 6, it was like nobody. I'm talking, we would, for the hour and a half,
wow,
we may get 3-4 people tops each night, tops. And so I feel like we could probably utilize our money better by maybe just moving it back up to 6 o'clock instead of 7:30 at night.
Yeah.
I mean, I that's just me talking, trying to figure out how to do this most economical. So.
Right. Well, every you know, we're all trying to pinch pennies here, Jeff. So every little would help, you know. But yeah, the other encouraging news, I'm sure you've heard that Donald Trump, on the national side of it, not the state individual states, but on the national Congress side of it, that
we got to go to hard break. Hold with me. We'll talk. All right, back here for the second. I got to do a new guitar lick. I got to work up on that. I'm getting old, but anyway. Hey, you got William, I think, still on the line. Is William with us? Hey, William, you still there?
10-4.
Hey, yep, man, lost you there. You was talking about Trump, I believe, when we took off there and had to go pay the bills.
I know. I get it. WSIC's got to go sell some Toyotas for Randy Marion or something, you know.
Feed for G&M Millen. Anything. Yep.
Yeah, right. That's right. We got to support your farm place up there in North Iredell. I guess it's Iredell. Well, it's Alexander County.
No, we're still in Iredell. Beautiful downtown Luray. Yep.
Yeah. I couldn't remember where the line stopped up there. I know it's getting close to Alexander County up there. But no, I was just going to say, for any Trump fans out there like myself, it just was a little bit of good news that he won the court battle, that they can't take his name off the docket. And yeah. I think we kind of knew that before that took place, but individual states still could probably do it. But I don't know how much of a difference that's going to make, to be honest with you. Maybe you can put in some insight on that. Yeah. I don't know.
At the end of the day, what he doesn't win in primary, he will win in the convention. And I will be curious to see if Nikki stays in after Super Tuesday, after tomorrow. I mean, if she takes a defeat in every one of them, I can't see her going forward just wasting money. She may just leave her name on the ballot and do whatever. You know, DeSantis is still on there, and some of the other ones that are gone too. So.
I admire her for wanting to still stay in it and try to fight, but why didn't she do that when she was up there in D.C. the first go around?
I get you.
You know,
I get you. You know, I was going to talk about, you know, what I think I saw in South Carolina, you saw a lot of Democrats move over to unaffiliated, because we have what's called, and we have it in North Carolina, they have it in South Carolina, they have it in most states, where they allow the unaffiliated to vote in either a Republican or Democratic primary. They can go in and choose their ballot and go mark it. And so it gives them an option of both sides. But
right.
I sometimes wonder if we're not getting invaded, and especially in conservative counties like Iredell. I know since the first of the year, I talked to them down there, because I was seeing people take information that I thought was kind of surprising, that they were taking information at the polls. We'll just put it that way, just because I know them, good people, but I kind of know them and know their history, like they know mine. And so I looked up some just to see, and a lot of them had changed. And I talked to the ladies there, and they said since the first of the year, over 200 Democrats had changed to unaffiliated. And over 100 Democrats had changed from Democrat to Republican. Now, maybe they've seen the light. I don't know. But I said, well, what about the other way? And she said, well, we've had 6 Republicans change to either unaffiliated or Democrat in that same time period. 6.
No, wow.
So,
wow. You know, people are just fed up, Jeff. People are just sick and tired of this garbage that's been going on, and I think they want to try to make a stand about it. I know, I'll speak for myself. I'm the same way. We got to get this thing turned around, Jeff. We got to, because it's for our future. It's like, you know, they buried that young lady down there in Georgia Friday, and I told Todd Starnes, I said, look, I said, you know, I'm going to vote for her and her family.
Mm-hmm.
And myself and the rest of the people in America, because that's what we've got to do. And, you know, that what happened to her should have never happened. And her story is like a lot of stories that we probably never hear about. But, you know, it's good that we heard about that. Unfortunately, she lost her life. She's with Jesus now. But I worry and concern about all the rest of the young ladies in college and that are affected by this crime that was committed by that gentleman.
Who should have never been here.
To be nice on the radio, I've got other names for that man, but
should have never been here.
Call him a gentleman at this point.
Should have never been here.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I can go on and on and on. But anyway, I just wanted to wish you luck.
Thank you,
sir. Hope everything goes all right, and we can get you back up there in 84 House.
Well, like I said, I hope so. I'm sometimes wondering if they're trying to take a conservative voice out. We'll see. We'll see if I can withstand the challenge. We'll see.
Right.
Thank you, William.
All right. Well, you take care, and we'll be in touch, okay?
All right. Appreciate you. All right. We're going to catch another caller. All right. Who we got? Let's see. Hey, this is Representative Jeff McNeely. Who we got here?
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Joyce, I ain't heard from you in a long time.
Been feeling good, but we voted. Me and my husband voted.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of that. Exercise that freedom. You may not have it for long, so you better get it.
Well, I voted Donald, and I just want to know if Nikki Haley, you know, drops out.
Not yet. She's still hanging in there. That's what I was just talking about. After tomorrow, with as many different primaries that are going to come up, and she doesn't win any, I don't see a path for her to go forward other than just to be the thorn.
Is Biden going to still try to go for president.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's nobody running against him. The Democrats fixed it where there's no primaries really for him. He's the only name on the ballot.
If we get him again, I want him. I don't know what to do. I don't.
We got to keep praying, dear. We got to keep praying.
Okay, Jeff. I'll talk to you later.
All right, you take care, sugar. See you. All right. Like I said, just wondering. It seems like some unusual statistics here in Iredell County, but seeing it all over maybe the nation, a lot of red states seem to be their roles seem to be growing in their primary. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if a closed primary is what we need in conservative places. Or I'm not sure. We want to have a big tent. We want to invite all. We want them to also come with the same ideology. So we'd rather have a conversion than an invasion. So I guess we'll wait and see how things shake out here in North Carolina in the primary, and we'll kind of get an idea of where to go forward. And I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this name right. Alexei Navalny, the Russian. I hope I didn't slaughter it too bad, Joe. Anyway, was killed the other week. Suspiciously, we got a caller. Let me finish this real quick, see if I got time. Anyway, was killed suspiciously in a Russian prison. He was, poisoned once. Anybody that speaks up against Putin seems to have trouble. You had Prigozhin got killed when he went to visit him after the coup he pulled and plane crash. So, kind of like the Clintons almost. So is it a coincidence in all these? Putin is a ruthless killer, and don't ever forget that. So you can't have him as an ally. I don't know what you can have him as other than an enemy. Let's take the caller. Are they still on? Yeah, let's take him. Hey, this is Representative Jeff McNeely. Who we got?
Yeah, Jeff, the school issue in question in Iredell County, and in my humble opinion, I've been here all my life. Well, Charlotte primarily. I'm living in Mooresville now. Is uncontrolled growth, which is one of the main reasons I got out of Charlotte. And with uncontrolled growth, I don't have to tell you what that will bring. And certainly in the southern part of the county, that's what we got.
Yeah.
And also this question of $100 million and $200 million in one school now. This country was built on relatively modest school structures. The quality of education, I think, rests in, first of all, the home, and then the quality of the instructors that are in the school, not $100 or $200 million school buildings. And all these people pouring in here, the question of impact fees, I keep hearing that. The people coming in and all these businesses, they're the ones that should be funding these schools, not people who have been here four or five generations. There needs to be a larger gap on for your home you live in. Let's say the first $200,000 or $300,000 should be exempt from property taxation, especially for capital school buildings. So that's all I'm going to say. Uncontrolled growth is going to take the quality of life away from this community.
Well, and I'm not going to disagree with you for the fact that it's eating up farmland, and I've done my damn gumdest for the last 24 years to try to preserve the farmland as much as I can, and it's coming fast. It was kind of creeping, but after COVID, we evidently we're on sale. There's a blue light special for all y'all old people that remember Kmart. So, we've got to figure out what we can do. Impact fees, every time they've been imposed, go to court. They throw them out. It's the freedom of to be able to sell your land, and so and the taxation part of that. I don't have a problem with them. I just know it's not feasible through the courts. They've been defeated time and time again. But there are other things that we can do. There are other things we can look at: building permits. We can look at. And I don't like to get into the size of lots. Some areas might need more, so you get more green space and of the county. And so a lot of that has to do with land planning, how we're going to go about it. even want to look at different things out there. I'm working on something on the farmland preservation side where we look at the look back tax. So we're working on some stuff, but there's no silver bullet, as we would say, or no golden chalice to
well, acquire. I'm afraid the quality of education is equated to shiny new massive, complete with art school buildings, and I'm sorry, but it doesn't work that way.
Well, I agree.
The politicians have fooled the public that if we put up a giant brand new school facility with swimming pools and artwork outside, your kid's going to get a quality education. This country wasn't built on that, Jeff.
No. Nope.
And my next move is going to be further away and out, not... apparently, I didn't come far enough away from Charlotte yet.
Well, we're hoping we can do it. All right, appreciate you. Hey, we're getting ready to go to our mid-show break here, so stay with us. Got Jason Zane coming on. We're going to talk politics. Ah. All right, back here for the second part of the show. We're going to see if we can get our guest. He's on the line. Bring him in. Is this... the soothsayer from the West, the man with the plan, the dude with the attitude, the great prognosticator of all time, Representative Jason Zane. Is this him on the line?
You have got the great Karnak, and may your Perrier water be secretly bottled in Tijuana.
Sometimes it tastes like that. Although I haven't drank Perrier. I did see some the other day, though. I hadn't drank that. And, anyway, well, hey, you know, we talk all the time. Politics. We do. We talk all the time politics. And a lot of people have asked me, you know, who do I need to vote for on this, the federal and the statewide elections? You know, there's just names and nobody knows them to a point. And some I've had to look up myself because we had other people we thought were going to run for these positions and then they switched and did something else. So it's kind of threw everything up in the air a little bit, but there is the better candidate in each one of these. So we're going to talk a little bit. You give me insight on what you know. I'll try to give my insight on what I know. But, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. And I don't think Donald Trump's going to be a surprise. Do you have anybody else on your bingo card for president?
No, I think that one's pretty decided. In the Republican primary, I believe Donald Trump walks away with it, right? And, you know, of course, to be expected since, you know, the only one really still running is Nikki Haley. And given that she's only won the District of Columbia, which is not exactly a traditional base of Republicans, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, look, and I like Nikki Haley prior too, but I mean, at some point, just, you know, stop. It's a little embarrassing. And just because somebody's paying you to do something doesn't mean you have to do it. But after that, and you look, and for those in Lincoln County that are looking for a ballot, or if you just want to know what Jason Zane thinks, you go to Jason Zane or jasonpicks.com, jasonpicks.com. I don't have a local ballot for following counties, but I've got Lincoln, right? I've got you know, don't have Iredell. Sorry, Jeff.
That's fine. You know the players, kind of. I'll talk about that a little bit near the end. We won't get too far.
Sure.
But we'll, you know, state ballots looking the same everywhere we go, pretty much. So it's looking the same in your district.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So you got basically the same. So if you don't know your, if you know your local stuff, but you don't know the statewide stuff, jasonpicks.com can get you there. I do that every year just because somebody will inevitably ask me, and then 20 more people will ask me, hey, what are your thoughts? And I always say, hey, these are my thoughts. Don't have to be yours. Don't get mad at me if I didn't agree with your candidate and back them. That's the beauty of the system we've got. But, you know, the big thing I think in our listening area, the big race is you know, House District 10, the congressional race. And our great friend, Gray Mills, is by far my choice. Don't apologize for that. Gray's been a longtime friend and is my seatmate in Raleigh and fought in the conservative movement. And I knew him through volunteering with Senator Jesse Helms. And, you know, somebody called him the establishment the other day. And I said, that's right. He's established himself as a conservative. That's a great place to be. And he's got a voting record that you can go check. You know, so that race, we've got some other folks there. I know you've got a couple, or at least one person from Iredell County running. There's someone from, I think he's saying it's from Catawba County this week. But my pick's Gray Mills there.
And then
governor.
Yeah. Let me concur with you. I agree, Gray. I think we'll do a fantastic job. I've known Gray for, gosh, I don't know, 20 years now or more, worked in the Iredell County Party, was, I'm pretty sure, our chairman. I'm about positive of that for 1 or 2 years.
He was.
Yeah, done great work. And, you know, here's something, and maybe this is shame on me. A lot of local bills come through, Jason, and when somebody wants to put a tax on theirself or do something to theirself, I pretty much say, okay, that's your red wagon. I'll vote for yours. I need you may someday to vote for mine. But now, Gray is determined whenever there's any kind of a tax increase, I don't care if it's a local bill and somebody really needs to go, he votes no. He does. Maybe I should. You know, I usually just let people do what they want to themselves and you know, move on in it down there. But Gray's always voted no on any kind of tax increase.
Well, and I appreciate the stance there. And I'm like you. It's not my circus, not my monkey. If you want to own that and your people have asked for it,
yep.
I'm not going to get in your local business, right? But don't get in my local business
Exactly.
I try to do what my city council folks ask, what my county commissioners ask, what my school board asks when they approach me as a legislator, because I'm simply passing along the message and I'm the vessel for them to go through. But I get why Gray would do that, just because he's just so opposed to it, and so I totally understand.
Yeah,
and good for him.
Take that attitude to D.C. Vote no on all the other tax increases and all the other crap that happens up there. My Lord, help us. Anyway, but yeah, all right.
Vote no on most things that come out of D.C. is probably a good policy.
You can always come back from no. You can always come back from no. Yes, you're doomed, but no, you can always come back from. Now, we may differ or we may not. I know we've talked a lot. And, folks, I'm going to tell you, we have not planned this. We have not rehearsed it. We like it this way. Chaos. But anyway, it's always interesting. What's your pick? Who you think you're going to go with on governor?
So, here's the deal. I know all three gentlemen running on the Republican primary.
Mm-hmm.
I have watched, all three as this has developed. I've known Del Falwell, served with him in the House. Know Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. On my ballot, if you go to jasonpicks.com, it's up to you. You pick it. I can live with whoever you pick, whoever gets the nomination. Now, I will tell you, I believe that Mark Robinson wins. Every poll I've seen that, when we've been in, individual legislative districts, he looks like the front runner. All the polling has said he's the front runner. I think Dale has surged some in the last bit, but then I saw another poll this morning when I got up that said Bill Graham is doing better. So I just say, hey, whoever that is, that's who we're going to run with, and I'm good to go, because I don't want to disparage anybody by picking in that race, and it's a little hard to do, but I think all three, any of the three, would be better than our current situation. So I'll leave it at that.
You know, that's like being the tallest midget. That's not making a great statement there. So, anyway, better than what we got. I will tell you this much. You know, this is what I've told everybody. Dale Falwell, smartest guy in the race. Smartest guy. He is. He's smart, CPA, done a great job, treasurer. I don't know, and I like Dale a lot. And none of these things are personal. I'm not taking anything, not trying to be personal on nobody.
Sure.
I just don't know if Dale has the oomph, to get there. And now Bill Graham, I have a problem with him. He was the his firm and him were the ones that represented the two firms, one from Texas, one from New York State, that went after our hog farmers. They needed somebody here of precedence, and so they didn't have standing, so they had to have somebody bring it. He brought it. He got a heck of a payday. That's how he can afford TV commercials. They still lost the six hog farms they sued won the case, but four of them eventually went out of business over the last year or two because of the legal expenses they had. There's just not enough money made in farming to take on a six-digit legal fee that each one of them encumbered from this, even though they won, which we fixed in our Farm Act that we did, that if you sue a farmer now for nuisance and you lose, you pay his lawyer bill. So we hope that'll help the ones going forward and maybe prevent. So I have a little burr in my saddle with Bill Graham. And so I'm definitely a Mark Robinson man, because I think he's the only one that can beat Josh Stein, who I feel like will win the other side. And at the end of the day, I'm just taking whoever can beat Josh Stein and get us something to work with in the governor's office, because we hadn't had that in the last almost 8 years now.
Well, fair enough. And you know what I always say about trial lawyers. They don't make the products you buy. They make the products you buy more expensive.
Exactly. So,
but like I say, you know, not a bad person. We disagree on that issue and we'll move on. But, look, there's always going to be, and when you've got a Republican primary, I mean, the good news is the Republican Party's healthy. We're building a bunch of candidates, right? You get to the lieutenant governor's race. We've got Jeffrey Elmore, who you and I serve with, who I think a lot of.
I've known
Hal Weatherman for years. Think a lot of Hal. And then Deanna Ballack, who her parents are my constituents, and she's been a longtime friend. She was in the Senate. Jeffrey's in the House. And then there's other men and women who are on that ballot who I like. I mean, it's really tough to choose. So I kind of go along the same lines of, who's going to be strong against Rachel Hunt. I think all three of them would be strong. I lean just a little bit toward Deanna, but I mean, you know, that's not saying anything bad about anybody else. And I know Jim O'Neill, good prosecutor.
He is.
I didn't know Seth Woodall, but I've heard great things about him. So there's lots to pick from, but that's who I think probably the front runners are, at least. And then you look at the auditor's race. Kind of same thing there. I've got for Jeff Hart, I've endorsed because he's a dear, close personal friend. I worked with him in the Senate. He and I co-chaired IT at Preps together. But like Dave Bullock and like Jack Clark worked for or has worked for
Kyle Hall,
our colleagues. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah, Kyle Hall. So there's another one. And look, when I say that, I'm not saying anything bad about the other three running.
Right? Yeah.
So it's a matter of who you like and who you know. Always encourage people to do their research.
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds. Got to take that hard break and pay bills. But we'll go back to Lieutenant Governor race. For me, I'm a Jeff Elmore fan. That job entails being on the state school board with a vote, actually, and also on the community college board. And he knows education. And, you know, we're going to miss him, Jason. He wrote a lot of our education policy in the House. We're going to miss him. All right, we got to go and take a break here. So hang with me, Brother Sane, and we'll be back and we'll talk more.
See ya.
All right, back here for the last part of the show. Got Representative Jason Sane from Lincoln County on here, the great prognosticator, who has a website even with his own picks on it. So, Jason, are you with me?
I am with you, sir. I mean, I do have my own little picks there, just in case somebody wants to know what it is that I'm thinking, because I get that a lot. You know, when you've been in office for a little time, they say, hey, you know a lot about these folks, so tell us about them. So I do a little prognosticating myself and put it on there. But always tell people, do your own research, pick who you want to pick.
That's right.
It's the beauty of this country. Do your thing. So,
well, folks, I
appreciate you recognizing me being the great prognosticator.
That's right.
You know, look, look, may a love starved fruit fly molest your sister's bacteria. So there you go.
You know what? You've told it right to me many times in the NCGA. Many times you said, keep your head down, keep your mouth shut, this is going to work out. I said, okay. So I'll listen. Best I can. You know, it's not easy. But anyway, hey, get back a little bit to the auditor. I know. It's just who I am. Get back to the North Carolina auditor thing. I know you went after Tar, and I'm kind of a Jack Clark man. I've got to know Jack over the last couple of years, working with him kind of. Tart's probably going to get it. Jeff's a good guy. I know him. Jeff's got financing. If it's nobody but his own, he can write the check. Haven't seen much. I thought I may see more, but, you know, the auditor's one of those not flashy positions, so you don't see a lot of auditor commercials. But maybe just in the bigger markets, and that's what's going on. All right, we'll jump down. We'll talk just briefly, North Carolina Commissioner of Agriculture. And
Steve Troxler. I don't know the other fellow. I'm sure he's fine. But Steve Trox is a known quantity, right? You maybe know more than I do. That's your wheelhouse.
It is, and I've talked with Colby Hammonds, and seems like a nice guy. Military background, also farming too, though. Has a cow calf operation, so he gets out here. We talked some about the issues. I think there's a learning curve there, and this is one of the largest departments that we actually have in our state, North Carolina State Government, Department of Agriculture, about 2,200 or 2,400 people. They'd love to have about another 500 if they could afford to hire them and find them. So a big department, Troxler, this is going on. He's been there 20 years. This is going for his next four-year term, be 24 years. He knows it. You know, sometimes we and him bump heads, we do. But at the end of the day, Steve Troxler knows North Carolina agriculture, and he's the best pick. Have no problem with the other man. I appreciate appreciate anybody throwing their hat in the ring. It's just experience always seems to win in these situations, and Troxler's done a good job. We got to keep him in. I think he knows where all the players are at. So I think that's pretty much said and done.
Well, I mean, it matters, and it, having some experience is not a bad thing.
No.
And he's definitely got that.
Yeah.
So next on your ballot, if you're going down following playing the home game, Commissioner of Insurance. Now that's one that means a lot because I'm a volunteer firefighter, at least was before I started, not being able to go to class anymore because I was stuck in Raleigh, but I've got a degree in fire science. And so that matters when you're talking about insurance. And we have separated that out from taking some of the politics out of that. So the fire marshal is not serving at the whim of the insurance commissioner, because it seems like our current insurance commissioner got into a little bit of hot water there. Mm. And which was a shame because it's been him a year, but for years. And it seems like he just can't get out of his own way. So he's not my pick. My pick's Andrew Marcus. And Andrew's a volunteer firefighter, an attorney, but he also has a lot of experience in what the office calls for. He was down in Florida working in the Commissioner of Insurance office down there. He's from here and had moved down there for a while, but back, and he's in private practice now. But he's, I think, very capable and has the background to do the job. I think that's important, and that's what I'm back.
And I think he's a good pick. Robert Brawley, he's an Iredell County guy, known Robert forever. Good man. Robert's getting on up there. He's probably about 85. He doesn't really look it. But this, it's going to be hard. This doesn't have the oomph, I think, to get this done. And so I'm thinking Marcus is the best one right now. Commissioner of Labor, I think John Hardister. How do you feel?
You got my pick there. I mean, that's we serve with John. He knows the job forward and backwards. I think he'll do a great job at it. And again, not talking trash about any of the other folks.
Oh, yeah.
But Hardister's just my guy.
Yep. Mine too. Now, Secretary of State, this is tough. A lot of unknowns here, but Jesse Thomas can get across the aisle possibly. Who's your pick there?
So that's another one we've got good candidates from everything I've heard people who spoke about them or if I've had a chance to meet them. I know Chad Brown personally because he's from Gaston, been a Gaston County Commissioner, longtime friend. Quite frankly, you need somebody who understands business, and that's he's done that. But I think the other two do as well. Just I know Chad Brown. He's the third one down. I mean, that's his little catchphrase as he goes in front of folks, and I guess that matters because – when you look at it, Secretary of State, people don't necessarily think about that when they go into the voting booth. So I think you can't go wrong with, from what I've seen, from the folks who are on the ballot there. But Chad Brown's my guy.
Okay, and that's cool. And I looked at Thomas. He's got a good track record. I'm going to pronounce her wrong, Vilvadaria. She seems to be super conservative. She's working the MAGA hard. So this is one of those that's a toss-up. I'm Thomas, you're Brown, and I know Chad, and I like Chad. Just trying to figure out somebody that can finally replace Elaine Marshall and beat her. She's been there since the beginning of time. So I think it's time for new blood.
And she's going to be tough to beat.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. She's going to be tough to beat because everybody knows the name.
Yeah.
So,
been there for
But fingers crossed, maybe this is the time.
I hope next up, Red Wave. What do you think? All right, you got the superintendent of public instruction, new lady Michelle Marr. She's playing the MAGA card. She's playing real conservative. Catherine Truitt. What's your pick there?
Catherine Truitt, and I've endorsed Catherine Truitt. If folks want to go on and read a bunch of crazy mess online that is unsubstantiated and not true, and here's my deal, right? I don't understand how you go and pick fights with everybody who's going to be voting in a primary and then think they're going to come vote for you. That's a weird strategy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a bold strategy, Cotton. I just don't understand it.
Let's see how that works out for them.
And, right? But, they come after me. They came after Mickey Sawyer, Aaron Perret. I mean, you know, we, turns out we actually have been elected in our districts and people do support us. Probably not the best strategy to try to get elected. But nevertheless, as I read more about Michelle Morrow, she doesn't have kids in public schools. Not that that's a requirement, because it's not. She had a failed run for Wake County School Board there as well, from what I understand. And look, and she might be nice enough, but her minions out there like to go on the attack. I don't understand it. Don't get it. That's their business. But Catherine Truitt is a known quantity. She's been good to work with. She has worked through a lot of the obstacles that are thrown in front of her because of the state school board that is you know, dominated by a Cooper appointee. So I think that's probably our best bet.
You know, I think a lot of people don't, that they've blamed Catherine for this, that, and the other thing, and it's the state school board. She doesn't even have a vote on a state school board. You know, June Atkins, that's when the Democrats just kind of just killed that position, took all the power away from it, and that may be our job to put it back in if we can sustain getting a Republican in there. You know, for a long time when we could have done it, we didn't want the person there to get any more power. So now Catherine's there, and I heard Michelle Morrow kind of went and got into like a heckling fight with her or whatever at the Johnston County Women's. I don't even know why she would be there if Catherine's speaking. Crazy. We'll just move on. Let's move on down to treasurer.
Sure. Yeah. I've had enough of crazy today.
That's right.
So the end of the treasurer's race, you know, again, bunch of friends here. The only one I don't know personally is Brad Briner, or maybe Brenner. And I've heard things that he worked for Bloomberg, but you know, just because a guy worked for a financial industry doesn't make him, you know, Bloomberg's minion, right? So right. I don't buy that. What I've read about him seems like a solid guy. I know AJ Dowd personally, good friend, has been a longtime friend. And then Rachel Johnson, I know Rachel. I know her husband Mark. Mark was the superintendent of public instruction. So I think it's one of those. I'll make up my mind when I walk into the voting booth, and it might be any, many, mighty, mo. And that's a heck of a way to pick. But I, you know, it's hard to pick between friends when they're on the ballot. Maybe you've got some clear light on that one, but I don't.
Well, I think if you look at them, I think Brenner's got more of the idea of investment, and that's all I'm going to say. He managed a huge money. You can love him, hate him, probably made him money. But we're getting close to running out of time. We got about another minute to get it done here. So let's jump down. We'll just talk North Carolina Court of Appeals judge. You got Chris Friedman. I know Chris, good guy. And I don't know Hunter well, but I do know him pretty good. I know kind of he's very conservative. Which one do you like there?
Again, I think that's flip a coin. I think you've got two conservative judges that are running, that have good legal minds and make a choice. I know Hunter, don't know Chris, but hear good things about Chris.
Yeah. So, I mean, good people. We got good people on the ballot, folks. Some places you can't go too bad wrong, but then there's others where we need to make sure. And, you know, real quick, if Bradford would have stayed in at the treasurer side, that would have been a hands down, in my opinion. But that didn't happen. So, anyway, well, we're running out of time. Jason, I appreciate you giving us your input, and it's jasonspicks.com, correct?
And good luck to you tomorrow. You're my pick in Iredale. Love you, man. Mean it. Good luck to you.
All right. I appreciate that, brother. I appreciate it. All right. Take care. We'll talk to you later. See ya. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and do our prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, tomorrow is a big day, and I pray your will be done. And I pray, dear Lord, that you lead and guide us in tomorrow, and that at the end of the day, we show brotherly love to each other. Just be with us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. All right, till next week, take care.
You've been listening to North Carolina Representative Jeff McNeely. Join Jeff again next Monday morning at 11:05 for Taking Care of Iredell on News Talk WSIC.